Welcome to Super Tatis for Parshas Bashalach. A few interesting stories. First is a story about the Beis HaLevi, who had a father-in-law who was of means and gave him all of the real estate in a street of Warsaw upon the Chasna. And this was obviously a source of income and everything else that was very good. But the Beis HaLevi ended up leaving town for a little bit and was hoping that a broker was going to help him get rid of it because it ended up being a bit of a distraction. When he returned to town, he discovered that the broker had completely swindled him and had taken and sold all of the property in his name and ran away with the proceeds, and all of a sudden the Beis HaLevi was left empty-handed. Obviously, this was a very upsetting thing for him, and as the story goes, the Beis HaLevi learned the Chovos Levavos Shar Bitachon tens of times. And at the end of that, just to kind of deal with it, at the end of this, he said a really astounding comment. He said, you know, before I thought that being wealthy meant somebody who owns all the real property on a street in Warsaw. But now I realize that true wealth is a person who learns the Shar Bitachon tens of times. So in all instances, we always need to remember to connect the dots back to the Ribono Shel Olam and understand whatever Kadosh Baruch Hu wants is ipso facto good. And because of that, all we have to do is understand and appreciate that all the things we want really connect back to wanting to do Ratzon Hashem. As soon as we know something's Ratzon Hashem, we kind of connect and are much happier. And that's part of the exercise that occurs in the Shar Bitachon. So there's a story now about a particular Rav, Rabbi Nisim Yagin, who lived far away but visited Mitzpe Rimon for Shabbos, and it was about 2 hours away from where he normally lived. On Motzei Shabbos, he left and had a wonderful exit from there. But the next morning, he shows up at Shachris back again in Mitzpe Rimon, and there he's very, very happy, and he is holding on to a Shabbos timer, and he runs to one of the houses nearby, and the Baal HaBayis is really surprised to see the Rav there. And the Rav opened and said, "You told me on Shabbos that it's really hard for you to take a rest in the light. So I got this Shabbos timer for you. So it's going to be able to fix the light and the dark." So all of that was really obviously an extraordinary gesture, and he did a ton of tircha and everything else. But the one thing the Baal HaBayis asked about, aside from being a little bit, you know, bashful and embarrassed about all, he said, "You know, you could have waited a day or two. Shabbos is not going to come for another 6 days. Why did you put so much tircha, so much effort and exertion into this?" And to this, of course, the Rav Yagin responded, "If you need to do something, a tova for somebody, don't wait 1 minute. Get up and do it, and be able to have that wonderful opportunity. You never know what could get in the way. Better make it now." There's a similar story with respect to the Chafetz Chaim. When he got older and older, he became more and more insistent about doing things quickly. And the Ponovitcher, who learned with him, tells a story that once the Chafetz Chaim had already reached the age of 90, he received a letter from a certain supporting organization saying that they're no longer able to support the yeshiva. And the Chafetz Chaim heard it and he said, "Listen, guys, somebody write a letter to them thanking them for all of their support up until now, and just to be makir tov." And maybe half an hour passed, and the Chafetz Chaim says, "Well, did you write the letter already?" Then he asked, "No, is it ready? Where is it? And when he saw that they hadn't done it already, he says, "You know what? I will not eat breakfast until you write this letter." Meaning to say, again, the idea of mitzvah baba yadcha al tach mitzena, don't let something get in the way. You need to be laser focused on whatever is the matter at hand. Another story about Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, a similar thing. with a interaction he had with Rav Mordechai Leib Rubin. So they had some sort of interaction where Rabbi Rubin needed Rabbi Zonnenfeld to assist with something, and for the purposes of Rabbi Zonnenfeld was going to go visit him. It happened to be that in inviting him, he sent an invitation, and all of a sudden it became a little bit of a snowstorm in Eretz Yisrael. So what happened that night? There was all the snow, and people were looking out their window, and all of a sudden they see this old man trudging through the snow, and all of a sudden it became clearer and clearer that this was none other than Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. Bichvodov Atzmo is getting close to the house of Rabbi Rubin that lived in the Yamin Moshe neighborhood. And the person who had called Rabbi Zonnenfeld to come and discuss was obviously very apologetic. He started crying out. He says, "I'm so sorry. I apologize for being a triach to cause you all of this work and whatnot." And Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld straightened up, you know, and he raised his voice and he said, "Is an old person usher to do a little bit of a tircha for a mitzvah? Is it true that all of a sudden on a snow day, the concept of mitzvah ba biyadcha al tachnitzena no longer applies?" Meaning to say that Rabbi Zonnenfeld was ready, willing, and able at all times to get up and go do a mitzvah, and so should we. Now on to Divrei Torah. I have a number of Divrei Torah from the Nachlas Yaakov. This is Rav Yaakov Milisa, the Nesivos, this week. A lot of them are on the actual Shiras Hayam. The first one is on the statement, Ashir El Hashem Ki Ga'ogo. So I will praise to Hashem, or I'll sing to Hashem, Ki Ga'ogo. So this is the Geus Lovish. So he says that the real essence of the tefillah of the Avos was that a Kadosh Baruch Hu would have Kiddush Shem Shamayim through their children. So when a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives Nekama to Rishoyim, his name becomes great, as it says, Vizgadelti Vizgadeshti. So that's what Rashi also says, Vichabda Bafaro. And this is the idea, Ashir Al Hashem Ki Ga'oga'a, meaning to say, in the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Nizga'e, his name becomes great in all of the world. Next is a particularly delicious comment, Hashem Ish Milchama Hashem Shmo. What does it mean? In the wars that Hashem makes, that these are all Derech HaTeva, we see that Hashem is his name. Because the Shem Havaya, Hashem, is when he makes things and acts beratzon, and that is in the ofsim and the osos and mofsim that happen in Mochama. Meaning to say, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu operates b'derech hateva, we can appreciate still that it's the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's the same Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's Hashem operating in the Mochama davka. The next comment is very, very deep. So he says, Ze'ek Keli ve'anvehu, this is my God, and I will beautify him. In the Medrash in Shmos Rabbah Chav Gimel Tazvav says that at the Ole Hayam, this is this group, everybody pointed with their finger and said, Ze keli ve'anvehu. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Ba'olam hazeh, in this world, you say Ze keli one time, but in the future, you're going to say it twice. And that's reference to the Pasuk, Ve'amartem ba'yom hahu hine elokim ze. Kivinu lo v'yoshienu ze Hashem kivinu lo nagila nismacha b'shuaso. It said, "This is my God," twice. What's the pirush? Until now, we only saw as a nation Kadosh Baruch Hu's chesed when he was doing chesed. But in the future, we're going to realize that not only the optical chesed, the apparent chesed to us is a chesed, but also the yisurin that he does for us. That all of that is latova, meaning everything that we have is good, whether it falls in quote unquote the good bucket or quote unquote the bad bucket. As it says, Elokeinu, it says, this is Midas Adin that we were hoping for, that he would be Moshiach from the Tzaros. But now that we know that this is Hashem, We know that this is midas harachamim, ze Hashem kivinu lo, nagila v'nismacha b'shuasa. We will be joyous in this salvation. And what's the kavana? What does this mean? In this time, in this world, we say zekeli once. We say that only on the chesed. But in the next world, we say it twice because we realize that not only the chesed is a chesed, but also the yisurin is a chesed. And that's the revelation of the future, that we're going to be able to appreciate everything that Ribbono Shel Olam does as a chesed. Okay, one more. This is Kol Machala Asher Samtei B'Yitzrayim Lo Asim Alecha Kani Hashem Rofecha. So it says, any of the illnesses that had happened in Mitzrayim, any of the makos, anything I did that I gave to them, I won't put to you because I am your doctor. So Rashi says, V'imasim ani rofecha. Rashi says, well, if I do put them on you, I'm going to be your doctor. And this is completely difficult. Everybody asks this question, right? Because we said, I won't give you a machala. And then after it says, if I give you one, then I will be your doctor. So here's how we explain it. And this is based on the Akedas Yitzchak. He says that everything is going to be understood for its end, its tachlis. We're going to see, for example, sometimes a doctor, when he is performing his medical care, even for injuries, he's going to have to make an incision, or he's going to have to cut something out or hurt something, lest the rest of the body is going to become injured. And we're not going to call that cutting of flesh, as it were, we're just going to call it, you know, medicine. We're not calling it an injury or pain or anything else like that. However, when he's actually doing the actual procedure, it's going to hurt a ton. There's no doubt about it. But still, we call it a refuah and not a yisurin, because the end of it, like the Akedah says, is for refuah. And everything is going to be considered, you know, for the purpose that happens. So, which is, of course, the opposite of somebody who just stabs somebody with a knife and says, here's your incision, right? So in Mitzrayim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Yisurim to the Mitzrayim, this was Yisurim, right? All the makos, all the terrible things that happened to them, that was Yisurim. That was punishment. It was pain, right? And that's what it gets called. But that's not the case for Klal Yisrael. Even if sometimes a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us Yisurim, that's for a kapara. And then when we think about it, if the net gain is a kapara, it's not really Yisurim at all. Rather, it's refuah, because the tachlis, the end of it, is the refuah itself. So therefore, we shouldn't call it a machala. Ah, now we understand, said the Sivos, how we could say kol machala shir something las Mitzrayim lasim alacha, any machala that I give in the Mitzrayim, I'm not going to give to you. What does it mean? Even if I give you the same optical appearance of something, it's not a machla, it's a refuah, because I am your doctor. Meaning, if I give Yisurin to them, it's Yisurin. If I give it to you, it's a refuah and it's a kapara. What does that mean to say? It means to say that everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu does, just like we had said before, is good and towards that very good end. I would be remiss to also mention that the Maril Diskin has a approach here as well. Last, we have a calendar problem in Rashi. Rashi here in our Parsha Yud Dalet Hey says, Leil Shvi'i Yardu L'Yam, the night of the seventh, they went down to the Yamsuf, and B'Shachris Amru Shira, in the morning of the seventh, they said the Shira, Hu Yom Shvi Shal Pesach. That's the seventh day of Pesach. Akach Anu Korim Hashira B'Yom Hashvi. That's why we read it during the seventh days. But however, in Parshas Shlach, with respect to Mitzvah Tzitzis, Bamidbar, Perk, Tesvav, Mem Aleph, it says, Shmona Chutim Shebo. There are eight strings in the Tzitzis. Keneged Shmona Yomim, Sheshau Yisrael, Mishayatsu Mimitraim, Ad Sheamru Shira Aliyam. it is parallel to the 8 days, not seven, that Klal Yisrael waited from when they left Mitzrayim until they could say Shira. So is it the seventh day or is it on the eighth day? Thank you and have a wonderful Shabbos.